It's exciting when you see the church growing, it really is. But it's quite exciting when half the church leaves and the kids go out to Sunday school. So yeah, that's even better still. Good morning to you all.
Morning.
Again, it's a privilege to stand here and share with you this morning. And I want to share something the Lord has put in my heart. It's been on my heart for many years. And I think that as it is the beginning of the year, the Lord's put it on my heart to share it with you. So we will hopefully be led by the Spirit and what the Spirit wants to say to us this morning. But you know, a few weeks ago, I shared on the foundation that we're based on, the foundation of Jesus Christ crucified, the foundation, there is no other foundation. And so this morning, I want to talk about building on that foundation. We've got the foundation, and I look at you this morning, and I know that you are born again, Spirit-filled, believing, Bible-believing, people who desire to serve the Lord in to some degree or other, and there's no pressure to say that you need to serve with all your heart. Of course, He wants that, but it's not what we always do. And this morning, I want to encourage you to have a look at the way that you are building on the foundation that you have already. So I'm not going to question whether you're born again. It's very simply, how are you building on the foundation that the Lord has given us? And you know, Jesus Himself is God's chosen cornerstone. He is the chosen rock that the Lord has put in place for us to stand upon. That rock that is immovable. It cannot be moved. And you know, we're looking at something that people have suggested there are other ways for the foundation, but you know, Acts 4:12 says there is no other name given to man under heaven by which he must be saved. It is the only way to be saved. So we have our salvation. So I'm looking at how are you building on the foundation that you've got? Each of us is different. And there's no denying that as I stand here, I can look around and every single person in front of me here is different in some form or other. And I cannot be the same as you. You cannot be the same as me. And I cannot look at what the Lord wants to do in your life. I cannot judge you for what He's doing in your life. I've got to look to my own life and what the Lord wants to build in my life. And I think, obviously, we are encouraged, almost commanded to encourage one another, to build one another. But in the end, when you stand before the Lord in Judgment Day, you'll be standing alone. I'm sorry, I don't mean to put that quite that bluntly, but the fact is that when we stand in front of the Lord in judgment, and there will be a day of judgment when we stand in front of the Lord, we will stand alone. And yes, we have that salvation, we have that foundation. But the Lord is building His church, and it's been on my heart over the last couple of years now that each and every one of us is involved in building His church. And last week, Andrew finished off his sermon, his sharing, with a scripture. And I'd like to read that scripture again this morning, because that's where I'd like to begin. And you know, you look at what the Lord wants to do sometimes, think, thank you, Lord. And it's like, for me, it's a confirmation of where we need to be going. And in 2 Peter 2 verse 4, he says, "Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The Lord is building a spiritual house. And we are those living stones, those blocks that He is building His church with. The question is, are we actually prepared to allow the Lord to build us? And it's not a trite question. I've had to ask myself that question. I often have to ask that question. Is, do I actually want the Lord to use me to build His church? Because His church is built of us. We have it. It's a spiritual church. And each one of us needs to be in a place where they are willing. And it doesn't matter what you are, who you are, what background you've got. It matters not. The Lord is willing to use you. It doesn't matter where you've been. There's a guy called Don Francisco, who sings a song many, sorry, way before some of your time, I'm sure even before Andrew's time. But, and he sings and says, the Lord doesn't care who's made your bed. The Lord doesn't care where you've been sleeping. The Lord does not care about those things. What he cares about is your submission, your humility, and your desire to obey him, to serve him. That's all he looks for. We don't have to be anybody. Just people who are saved, who've been called by the Lord. You know, we are incredibly privileged. We've been chosen. We've been called by the Lord. I don't know if you, sometimes we need to dwell on the fact that we are so, so privileged. That the Lord has called us, each and every one of us here. Doesn't matter where you come from, who you are, what you've done. You have been called by the Lord, specifically. Now, there's nothing that you've done or I can do to deserve that. It is a free gift of the Lord. And he says, come. But what he wants from us is that service, is to allow ourselves to be built into the stones. We are God's building. And he's building this temple where we are able to offer the spiritual sacrifices to him. In the old days, they used to have the sacrifices at morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, twice a day, every day. What he wants from us is that all the time, every day. And that is something we don't always grasp, the fact that we are truly God's chosen people. And we need to understand, and I want to, let me just read from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. I shared it last time, but it's when Paul says, it says, we are God's fellow workers. Sorry, that's 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood or hay, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through a fire. Okay, that's the scripture. And sometimes these scriptures we don't really like to read. But it actually encourages me that we need to be building God's way. And that the way we build on the foundation that we've been given is going to be tested. Tested with fire. What I think that really gets down to when you look at the commentaries is that the day when we stand before the Lord, everything will be revealed. And Paul speaks about the gold, silver, and precious stone. When he talks about precious stone here, he was referring to, you know, the very fancy marble that was cut and saved. And the rest of it, the wood, stubble, and hay. If you think about fire, gold and silver just get refined by fire. The stone, you still find the stone standing in these places where like Jerusalem, those stones are still there, unless they've been taken away. They are still there, but the wood, the hay, the stubble has been burnt up, it's gone. And what they're referring to there, when they talk about the hay, stubble, and I'll just refer to it very briefly, is when we have false doctrines. We're not talking about total apostasy or stuff like that. We're talking about doctrinal errors where we build with the wrong doctrines. So we need to be very careful that we understand what the Lord actually wants of us. And we have the scripture, and we are designed, I believe, totally designed to be a dwelling place for the Lord. And in Ephesians 2, it says we've been made a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, a temple, a holy temple. And the one thing about the holy temple is that God doesn't like sharing his temple with anyone. I don't know if you've ever considered the fact that when we listen to strange messages or different doctrines or different teachings, we need to be careful that they are based on the word, on solid scripture. Because we can get led astray. It, several times it says even the elect will be led astray. Both Matthew and Mark actually warn us that even the elect will be deceived by false preachers. We need to be careful that the way we're building is with true doctrine, with what comes out of the scripture. We've been given the scripture here. This is the architect's plan. And the architect's plan comes with the author. We have the author available to us. You know, there's a quote from Spurgeon who says, you know, if you ever really want to find out what a writer has said, the best thing is to ask the writer. And the writer of the Holy Bible is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus in John, he's very clear, sends us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to lead us into all truth. So we have got the architect's plan. And I don't know if you've ever been on a building site, and we'll deal with some of the bits and pieces all over the place. You know, quite often it's a bit of mayhem, organized chaos in some places. But if you go into the office, the builder's office, on his desk or on the wall, but most of the time it's on a big desk, is the architect's plan. When they start the building, it's pristine. It's absolutely clear. It's got no smudges or ink marks or pencil marks or nothing on it. By the time that building is finished, it is worn. It's got tears in it. It's got notes on it. It's dirty. It's grubby. It's got cement stains on it. It's got paint on it. And that's because when you're building a building, a construction engineer, they are referring continuously to the plan to make sure they are building correctly. Because they could decide halfway through, no, I don't like the way that it doesn't look good and want to change it. But you're not the architect. And you will put something out of kilter which doesn't fit with the building. And one of the things that's interesting is that if we want to be used by the Lord to build His church, we need to be usable. Now, I believe, and I believe that we have that choice as to whether we want to be built, whether we want to be usable, whether we want to be part of God's building. We can just rest on our salvation and say, hallelujah, I'm fine, thank you. But God wants to build His church, and we are part of that. We're all called to be part of that. You know, and the scripture is quite emphatic about the fact that He wants to use us. He's got the gifts. He's got everything available to us. His grace has been given to us to grow. Do we believe that we are not qualified to be part of His building? And we need to be careful, because we're all qualified, every single one of us. But we can determine whether we actually want to do it or don't want to do it. And this morning, my encouragement is to desire, to encourage you to desire to be built by the Lord, to become a living stone, to be fitted where He wants. Not where you want, where He wants. There are many times going back in my life where I've actually wanted to be in a certain place. And it's interesting how the Lord manages to put you off and say, look, you know, hold on, come over here. Let's start over here. We can't run before we can walk. And with the scripture, you know, Peter says, desire spiritual milk. So you're like, when you feed a baby, you've got to start with milk before you get into the solid stuff. The question is, are you hungry? Are you hungry for the word? Are you hungry to listen to what the Lord has to say to you? What He wants to do with you? That He wants to grow. He wants to grow us all. He wants us all to be part of His building. He wants to use us to build us. And the interesting thing is, you've ever seen a building when it's been fitted together, you can actually see quite often sometimes where the base layers are absolutely beautiful. And as it goes higher up, it slowly gets a little bit more tacky until eventually on the top, it's just a bunch of rocks that just chucked in place just to make it look good. And believe it or not, if you have a really close look at the Western Wall, you'll see what I'm talking about at the very, very top. So that's what's left. And the thing that we need to be careful of is when we're building is to make sure that as we build, we continue to build with stones that are cut clear. And whether you do it fast or not, I think the Lord prefers us to grow slowly, to build slowly. So if you can visualize yourself building a building, you start off with a foundation that's already done. Then you build these blocks. And as a young Christian, you're inclined to actually make sure everything is absolutely perfect. And as we get higher up, maybe we get a little bit lazy, a little bit casual, a little bit busy. We get wrapped up in the world. The building of our temple, our building of our little building, becomes a bit catty. And the Lord has given us the scripture. And in Amos, it talks about the plumb line. You all know what a plumb line is. Plumb line is a piece of string with a white weight on it, and gravity does the rest for you. And that is straight up and down. And the Lord's word is a plumb line. And if we are building, we need to be building in line with God's word. What he says, not what we think. We can become careless. We can become casual. We can become, dare I say it, lazy. Any of you? No, I won't ask that question, because I have in my life been quite casual about it. And you know, we need to keep checking as we build. It's like the architect's plan in the builder's office. You need to refer to it consistently. They can refer to it consistently, all the time, making sure that everything is where it's meant to be. And I'm not here to show you how you should be built or how the Lord wants to build you. There's lots of scripture. I mean, all of them. Paul, James, John, all the apostles, Peter, all of them show us how to live. All you've got to do is stay in Peter. You go to Peter, 2 Peter 1, and he shows the very simple things that we need to be focusing on and how to build. And a lot of it is all about starting with the right attitude. Have we got an attitude of submission? Submission, one of these days I believe we need to share. It's a hard thing about submission. But it's submission. It's having a humble heart and having a desire to be obedient to what the Lord wants. Because we can often we decide that we like it our way. And I don't know if anybody else has got that particular problem where the pride says, no, we don't want it this way, we like it this way, because that word doesn't really match what we say. And in the church today, more and more, there's that moving away from God's word. And it's only a slight shift, but it's all got to do with man's pride. And it's all got to do with wanting it our way, as opposed to God's way. Because we don't always like the way God wants to work. But it's God who's doing it. So are we here to serve? Do we desire to serve him or not? Because if we're not prepared to serve him, no, I was going to say why are you here? But, you know, if we look at 2 Peter 1, there's a nice list of what the sort of things we should be looking for in our lives. But each one of us is very, very different. Very different. We've got our own upbringing, we've got our own culture, we've got, you know, where you come from, how you were brought up, what do you believe, when you got born again. And one of the things that we need to keep an eye on is how we are building. Are we building the right way? Because it doesn't matter where you come from. Each one of us is different. The Lord has his plan for you. But he wants that plan for you to be built together as a temple for him. So often we start off, as I say, with these beautiful, pristine blocks that we build our building with, and it degenerates slowly. And if we're honest, there may come a time when we put the plumb line against the building that we've been building, that the Lord wants to tear it down. I know that sounds, well, I've got to start again. Well, maybe we need to start again. I'm not saying that you want me to, please. I know that in my life, going back in time, the Lord has had to remove a lot of the building that I had to make. And I've had to rebuild the way the Lord wants it. Because when you've got pride, you're inclined sometimes to want to build with human merit. You want to build your way. You want to build a different way. It's like Jesus and there's no Jesus and, it is Jesus. And when we look at some of our buildings, we may need to tear them down. We may need to let the Lord tear them down. So I'm trying to, we're not trying to put you guys down, but we need to be honest with who we are. You know, in the past, I was accused, and I actually came to see this many years ago, that I was extremely self-righteous, truly self-righteous, and wasn't walking in the grace that God has given all of us. And when you walk in that self-righteousness, you're inclined to ignore what the Lord wants and go with what you want. You're inclined to be very selfish. And it's, I know better. And you think, I know better. I can set my own standard here. But my standard, your standard, will never reach the standard that the Lord wants. And we need to understand that He wants us to grow. And we're all required to grow. We can actually sit where you are and park off for a while. But I mean, it's nice. Sometimes it's good to sit and reflect or meditate. But generally, the Lord wants us to grow. And all the letters, all the epistles, all the apostles, all of them encourage us to grow. And we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. But when it comes to building a wall, you know, Paul had a go at the Galatians. And what had happened is he said, you started in faith, but then over the period of time they got influenced by false teaching. And they started to try and build on that foundation, on the wall they've already built in the law, with legalism. And it just doesn't work. And Paul says, what has law got to do with faith? You started by faith. We all started by faith. We build by faith. Who builds the wall? The Holy Spirit builds it with you. You are required. You know, we've been given an incredible privilege. And with that incredible privilege comes a responsibility. And a responsibility is to serve the Lord as He desires, to love Him as He desires, to praise Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him, but most of all, to allow Him to change us, to become more and more like Jesus. You can't become more and more like Jesus unless you actually want to. That is the one choice in terms of free will. I'm not looking at anybody here. And that is a choice that we have to either do it or not do it. We all have that choice to grow and allow the Lord to work in us. And we need to have the faith to know that it is only by faith. And we often have our own plan. I love it when we have our own plan. Because the Lord will normally go, yeah, I can get on with it. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Lord, I think this is it. And He goes, yeah, I can get on with it. And a little bit down the line you think, what am I doing here? And I don't know about you, but there are times in my past where I've run around, really run around, serving, thinking I'm doing it, and the Lord is going, and? You know, who are you doing this for? And I've had to understand that I've been doing it for me, really. But you've got to understand that the Lord wants to do it, you to do it for Him, not for yourself. Because you're part of the body. He's called you to be part of the body. And you know, we often have come back, you know, you've got a construction site, you've got stuff all over the place. There's cement and bricks and poles and steel. And we can actually deal with what I'd call substandard material. You know, in America, there was a lot of things going back in time. I think it's still there. And I know a certain hospital close by that suffers from the same problem, in that it was a short-term build. When you build a hospital, it should never be a short-term build. Or am I missing something? Anyway, in our lives, it's not a short-term build. It's a long-term build. And the standard of material that we use, we need to make sure it's the material God has given us. We need to be very careful because we can be fed a lot of different substandard materials from different people. It works the same way in the spiritual life as it does in the physical life. And we just need to take care that we are using what we're meant to. And I come back to it. You know, we can get led astray by rites and ceremonies. We can get led astray by denominational doctrines. So I need to be careful about denominational doctrines. But it's very, very easy to get caught up in religiosity, to become religious in your approach. And religion is man trying to reach God. Christianity is God has reached man. Done. And we cannot spend our time trying to reach God when He has already reached us. You know, and Jesus has really done it and paid the price. He's paid the price. He's been crucified for us. And by His blood we've been cleansed. Paul, Paul actually, when we talk about sharing the table of the Lord, Paul speaks about testing yourself. You know, when we come to the table of the Lord, Paul says, test yourself, examine yourself. And I believe we should be doing that, not just when it's the table of the Lord, but each and every morning we wake up and say, Lord, am I in the right place? Yes, there are days when we sit there and we think, but no, not this morning, maybe tomorrow. But it's to encourage each morning to say, Lord, where am I? Am I in the right place with you? Because it's better, Paul says, to examine yourself and make sure you're in the right place than have the Lord examine you when you haven't bothered to examine yourself. You know, that's a bit of a scary thing. Because when the time comes, you'll stand before the Lord by yourself. And we've got the foundation. The Lord has given us the grace. If you're born again, and the Lord wants us to just build. And the more we build, the more we build on that faith, the more certain we will become of our salvation. That's all it is. But he has grace for us. You know, and the other thing is just... What's the time? Eh? All right. Sorry. One of the things that we find, I found in my own life, is we all sin. Anybody who doesn't sin, give me a shout. I need to have a chat to you. But the scripture is clear that it's all of us sin. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And even as a born-again believer, you still sin. There are places you sin, but we understand that there's forgiveness. There's repentance. We can come before the Lord. And we know that we have that great high priest because he's been here. He understands who we are. He knows our emotions. He knows our physical. He knows our spiritual. He knows everything about us. Isn't that exciting? Now, how much you hide it from other people in terms of your spiritual, your physical, your mental, your attitude, your heart, you may hide it from everybody else. Can you hide it from the Lord? You know, I've talked to people in the past who go, what they call secret sin. There is no such thing as secret sin because the Lord knows it all. So who are you trying to fool? Anyway, when it comes to sin, unfortunately, we can allow the sin to determine our lives. We can get caught up in the sin and say, oh Lord, I've sinned again, I can't serve you. But we mustn't allow the sin, when it's been forgiven, when we've repented, when we're back in the right place, to determine the way we serve the Lord. We cannot allow that. You know, and we are not sinless. We cannot serve the Lord in this totally sinless state. We cannot do it. And it's as we serve Him, as we walk the walk that He's given us, that He begins to change us. As we allow Him to change us, we come to the place of being useful to the Lord. You know, with Nehemiah, I love Nehemiah. We talked about this before. When Nehemiah went to build the wall, he would have had to remove all that rubble out of the way to see where the foundation is. And maybe we do need to have a look at removing some of this rubble. But when he was building, he did two things that come to mind. In chapter 4, I think it's chapter 4, I can remember which one it was, everybody was armed. Everybody had a sword in one hand and a trowel or a shovel in the other. And in your Christian life, if you think you're not going to get opposition and you're not going to get people coming against you, then you have a surprise coming. You know, we were sharing about a pastor that was sharing on the street in Norwich. And he said, come to Jesus. Everything is going to be so good for you. And I'm thinking, you know, my brother, I need to have a chat to you. Because it's not like that. There will be trials. There will be temptations. You will be tested. There will be people who don't like what you're doing. And I know it's a bit of a surprise that they won't actually like you. But the reason for that is who you belong to. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And with a lot of non-believers, just being in their presence confronts them. And we need to be aware that we will have oppositions. And Nehemiah got all of these people to stand with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God. And not just to put it on when we feel like it, but every morning. And in fact, listening to one pastor, he says, I sleep in my armor. I'm thinking, let me think that through. But anyway, you understand what he's trying to say, is that he needs to be in his armor the whole time. And the sword, the interesting thing with Nehemiah, they stood behind the wall. Never once did Nehemiah lead a recce party with the swords and go and attack the the enemy. Never once he did. The sword and the armor were to defend him so he could get on with God's work of building that wall. And quite often we need to be careful that we're not out attacking the enemy and forgetting to do God's work. Because that sword is given to us to defend and to attack where necessary. But it's there to protect us from the wiles of the devil. And he will come against us. People will come against us. The other thing that I think it's interesting looking at Nehemiah, and I've mentioned it already, is that each section of the wall was given to a family or a group of people. And the same applies to us today. My section of the wall is not the same as his, or yours, or you guys. All right. Thank you. But each one of us has our own building to build, our own section of the church, our own gifting, our own ministries, our own character, our own personalities. The Lord never removes character and personality from us. All he wants to do is that it needs to be renewed in the likenesses of Jesus. But he doesn't remove our character and our personality. Who would we be otherwise? Now, we've got to be careful not to look at others. So when the Lord is building my life, I can't look at Mike's life and say, Lord, look what you're doing there. Come on, how about me? But what Mike needs and what I need, what Andrew needs, I'm just picking on you guys, it's okay, you big boys, right? Is not something I need to worry about, because the Lord is the work in me. And we can't help it often when the Lord's working us is to look at the box that Andrew's got and say, what's in your box? And we're terrible like that as humans. And we need to be careful that that is not our box. You understand what I mean by our box? Because Andrew's box, I may see something on the outward that I'm thinking, wow, Lord, look at you doing. I don't know what's happening in his heart and in the tests and the trials and the temptations the Lord's putting before him. I might get there and say, whoa, don't want that. It's not my place. So we need to be very careful about not gauging where we are by somebody else. We need to gauge ourselves by the word that the Lord has given us, the scripture and the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you now, when you get down and you say, Lord, show me, brace yourself. Because the Lord, if you're honest about it, the Lord will show you exactly where you are. And we need to put that plumb line of God's word against our lives. Am I in the place where I'd like to be? No. But I want to be in a certain place where the Lord can use me more and more for his kingdom, for his building, to carry on his building. And if we're not careful, we can actually sit to one side and not be part of what the Lord has for us. You know, I really believe the Lord is building his church, but he's building it his way. And I know I've said this before, and Andrew said it, and there's a lot of pastors and preachers out there who share the word, say the Lord is building his church. And is that all the stuff that's gone before, there's a new thing coming. There's a new thing here. It's not coming. It's here. And I want to be part of it. I want us all to be part of it, because the Lord has so much for us. And we have not understood, even we haven't even had an inkling of what the Lord has for us. So this morning, I don't want to put you guys down. I want to encourage you to say, yes, Lord, if it's necessary to break bits of my wall down to make sure it's for you and it's done correctly, in terms of what you want and your plan and your purpose, let's go for it. Because the grace of the Lord is there. You know, the Lord has been faithful. You know, Psalm says, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the saved of the Lord begging for bread in the streets. You know, and the Lord has been incredibly faithful in my life. I've been around long enough to now understand the Lord's faithfulness. In the past, I probably wasn't totally really interested. But there comes a time when you realize how faithful the Lord has been in bringing you to this point in time where we are right now. And the Lord is faithful. And in Philippians 1:6 it says that, you know, whatever the Lord has started, he will complete it. He will finish it. The real question this morning, are we prepared to allow the Lord to build us, to be part of what he wants? There is a lot coming. And I want to be part of it. Will it be tough? Yes, I'm sure. Will there be tests? Will there be temptations? Will there be trials? Will there be people trying to move us off
of where we stand?
Yes.
Because in the world today, when people are building, there has been a compromise of God's word. There's a compromise, and we don't quite like that scripture. Do you like every bit of scripture you read in it? Do you like it? There's some scripture I really, really don't like. But it's the word of God. And I've got to ask the Lord to show me, the Holy Spirit, to say, Holy Spirit, you need to show me how to live with this, how to live within the word that you've given us, to build my wall and my building with a straight line. Amos had a plumb line, and you know, I can recommend reading a bit of Amos. Amos 7, I think it is, about the plumb line. And that's from the Lord. We need to make sure that we're building the right way. You know, we must be careful not to build ourselves a prison of legalism, a prison of law, a prison of religion, a prison of compromise. We need to be very careful. Because if you're going to build, you might as well build the right way, right from the beginning. For some of us, it's been a bit late for that. We've had to rebuild after the Lord has removed some of the rubble from the top. But you know, it's been worth it. And I can only praise Him, glorify Him for the faithfulness that He's shown me. And I know that He's shown each and every one of you here this morning. So, we have the Holy Spirit and we have His Word. And the Lord wants us to be diligent. The scripture from the writer says we need to be diligent. Diligent in reading the Word. Maybe you read one chapter. Maybe you read one sentence a day. The question, are you reading? Are you reading what the Lord wants? Are you understanding? Are you praying? Saying, Lord, show me. You know, Peter says that we should grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord. Does He know you? He should know you. I'm not going to question that at all. The question is, how well do you know Him? Do you really know Jesus? And there are times when I must admit, when the Lord does something in my life, I think, Lord, I have no idea. I really want to know You more. And to grow in the grace, knowing that the grace is there, that whatever we do, the efforts that we make in terms of being diligent and wanting to build His kingdom, the grace of the Lord is there. Are you going to make mistakes? Are you going to get it wrong? Yeah. Hey, we're human, unfortunately. Much as we not like to be, but we are human and we have that failing. We are faulty. We are flawed. But the grace of the Lord is there every and every time. That forgiveness is there. When we come before Him with that attitude of heart that is that's submissive, that's humble, and obedient, say, Lord, forgive me, please. That forgiveness is there. We can't earn forgiveness. The Lord gives it to us. So this morning I want to encourage you. Allow the Lord to build you as part of the church. And it's not just your personal building, it's to be built as part of God's church. Part of His building. And He is building a holy temple. And it's a temple that's there to praise Him, to worship Him, and it's to glorify the Lord. And so we need to be careful that we either build with Jesus or without Him. And the choice is always ours. So this morning, as I said, just to encourage you, just allow the Lord to do the work. And in Matthew 16:24, it says, Jesus Himself, if any man would follow after Me, let him deny himself. Let him pick up his cross and follow Me. And a lot of the building requires us to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, to emulate Jesus, to identify with Him. Because what He wants of us is not easy. And we cannot do it in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to encourage us, to lead us, to guide us. And it's when we begin to deny ourselves and say, Lord, Your will, not mine. Lead the way. So this morning, that is my encouragement as a beginning of the year. A little bit of a challenge, I suppose. It's been a challenge to me because the Lord is wanting to do something very special, something very powerful, and I want to be part of it. Doesn't matter if it's a little bit over here or over there, doesn't matter. I want to be part of it. And I really would like you all to be part of it as well. Okay. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the incredible grace that You show us. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord, that You love us, Lord, in a way that I cannot truly understand. But Lord, I pray that You'd give each and every one of us a heart to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, Lord. Just as You have given Your life Lord, that we give our lives for one another. Oh Lord, help us to allow you to build us as living stones into the building that you're building, this spiritual temple, this spiritual place of worship to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've done in our lives, and knowing, Lord, that there's still more that needs to be done, Lord. But we know, Lord, that in your grace and in your strength, we can continue. For, Lord, we know that all things are possible with you. Lord, you can take the most base person and turn them into somebody who glorifies you, who worships you, who praises you, who serves you with all their heart, Lord. Lord, I pray that our hearts, each and every one of us here this morning, would have our hearts open before you to allow you to speak to us, to guide us, and if necessary, to remove things from our lives, Lord, but to build us to the place where we are useful in your kingdom, useful for you in the building of your church. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. We praise you, Lord, we worship you, we glorify you, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd work in each and every one of our lives today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.